Hey, this is Chris Bleck. Thanks for listening to the Bleck and Abdallah podcast, brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
It's Bleck and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Bleck and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Do you see the haters were out today?
Where the haters at? Show yourselves.
Apparently, USA Today.
Oh, haters. Depending on your team, they were haters. They put out their NFL projections 2.0.
Well, they had to adjust.
They said they do adjust. I got to look at their 1.0 and see if they adjusted for the Bears, because they put out their 2.0 and they said we've adjusted for Cam Newton being a Patriot. So I have to look at 1.0 and be like, did they still have the Bears only having 5 wins? Are we just doing this segment again? Like, can we go back to when?
Maybe they thought Cam Newton was going to be a Bear, and that's why. And
they're like, the Bears have 8 wins. Nothing's changed in the NFC North, but now they have 5 wins.
So we're like at the point of the year, because we're about 20 games away, or 20 days away from game number one.
Prediction season.
Yeah, this is the time of year, right? We're going to see all the publications give you the numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are the Bears projected at? Are you going to go with average? Are they just going to be 8-8? Are you really high on the Bears heading into this season? Are they going to win 11, 12, 13 games this season? Or are they going to be really bad?
Uh-oh.
Are they going to win 5,
uh-oh,
4, 3 games?
Mm-mm.
2-1, Trevor Lawrence is on the doorstep. See, I think if we look at it, and if we all have a conversation here, and this is a safe place, all calls welcome. Bleck and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000, 312-332-3776. If you're a Bears fan, if you're a football fan heading into this season, I don't think it's a realistic possibility that the Bears will be a bad football team.
No. This can't be right.
I think if you look at all of the possibilities, if you had to take a percentile and divvy it up based on what will actually happen, I think the lowest amount of the percentile would go towards this is one of the worst teams in the NFL.
So I found USA Today's NFL predictions 1.0.
Okay, 1.0. When was that published?
May.
Okay, back in May.
So May 14th. So close to this date.
So Nick
Foles
in the fold for the Chicago Bears at that point.
Yeah. They actually somehow.
Wow.
In the last few months here, since from May to August, gave the Bears 2 more wins.
Hold up. Are you being serious right now?
They gave the Bears on May 14th. I'm looking at it. May 14th, 2020. NFL record projections. Will Tom Brady or Drew Brees leads a Super Bowl push? And they're the COVID-19, blah, 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 blah. Here's the graphic. The Packers, 10-6. The Vikings, 9-7. The Lions, 7-9. The Bears, 3-13.
See, that's unrealistic.
This is in May.
That's not going to happen.
Today it comes out. And
what are they today?
5-13. They got 2 more wins.
5-11.
5-13. 5-11. They got 2 more wins.
That's unrealistic, too. They're not going to be a 5-win team.
They're not. They can't. Now there is propaganda out there, you know, that claims that you and I are of the mindset of USA Today.
Well, we'll address that
But I just wanted to say that
here on ESPN 1000.
I believe, like you believe,
yeah,
this defense shows up to the stadium with 6 or 7 wins. Shows up with 7 wins. Like, this defense, if fully healthy, barring injury, of course, is a 7-win defense because of the talent on that roster, the way they've been able to perform. I know the turnovers were down last year. The pressures were down last year. You missed Akeem Hicks for half the season. You can't have that happen and expect to be a top five offense again. They were still top 10 in a lot of categories last season, and that's still formidable, even without one of their best players. If I would say Akeem Hicks is probably the second best player on defense, right?
Yeah.
Akeem Hicks, second best player on defense after Khalil Mack?
Yeah.
He's out for half the games, and you're still a top 10 defense. I think that this defense alone can get them to 7 wins. This defense alone can keep them competitive in every single game. Now it's up to the offense. The offense needs to win you a few games. You're only going to be able to win a few games, 10-7, 7-3. There's going to be some games. We saw it last year where the Saints will come in and put up 40 on you. Like, you have to be able to score points. And you can't regress the way that this offense regressed last season from 2018 to 2019. You can't have that. So, that being said, 7 wins minimum because of the defense. And if the offense shows up, whether it's Nick Foles or Trubisky, I don't give a crap who it is. Foles or Trubisky, if they improve from what they were last season, you can be a 9 or 10 win team.
So USA Today gives us the rest of the division, the NFC North. The Packers, they project at 9-7. The Vikings at 8-8. The Lions at 7-9. The Bears at 5-11. Here's what I think the division. I think everyone's lumped together. Packers, Vikings, Lions, and Bears. I don't think anyone is that much better than the other teams. But I don't think whoever loses this division will be a 5-win team.
Mm-hmm.
So, I agree with you. They could show up to the stadium and get 6 to 7 wins. But I also think that the Lions are undervalued. I think people, especially in this area here in Chicago, people look at the Lions and assume they're terrible. Except if you go back last year and dig into their season, they were in every game that Matthew Stafford started. In the games that he didn't play, they were a terrible team. But when Matthew Stafford stays healthy and plays football games, the Lions are actually almost playoff caliber worthy. And I know the advanced analytics sites like Football Outsiders the last 2 years have been very high on the Lions. They were last year. They are again this season. I think projecting them to be better than the Bears and almost a playoff team. And then we know what we've seen with the Vikings, right? It comes down to Kirk Cousins. Which Kirk Cousins do you get from week to week? Is he the guy that can go downfield, expand the defense, allow the running game and Delvin Cook to do his work inside? Or is he the guy that is timid, throws bad picks, and gets your butt beat in a playoff game? We've seen both from Kirk Cousins. Which do you get on a week-to-week basis? And the Green Bay Packers, 13-3 last season. Aaron Rodgers back in the fold. Will he have a chip on his shoulder knowing that the Packers went out and used their first-round draft pick on a quarterback, a guy to take his spot someday? Or will they be able to kind of patch it together, run the football well like they did last season, to improve on defense again because their defense was pretty good last season, thus why they won so many close games that they did? And can they bounce back from the embarrassment that we saw when they lost to the 49ers and were ran off that field? So, I think the division is a good division. And in fact, if you look at other divisions in football, the NFC North is a division that's one of the better divisions in all of football, because the worst team in the division is going to be better than most worst teams if you go from division to division.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the West is right up there too.
Yeah, the West with the Cardinals, the Rams, the 49ers, and the Seahawks.
Yes.
I think all four of those teams could make a case that they could be playoff teams this
Absolutely.
Year.
But I think that while I agree with you, we undervalue the Lions, I still think that the Bears are better than them and can be and not finish last in the division. I still think that they at worst split with the Lions this year, if not sweep them again. And I think that, yes, they still have a great quarterback in Matthew Stafford, but ultimately, I still think the Bears defense can hang with them, and I think the offense is, while they don't have the better quarterback, they can still score enough on that defense to win both of those games. So I don't see a way that the Bears only win five games.
Well, and that's why it goes back to this quarterback competition that we're monitoring from afar for Bears camp at Halas Hall, is that Mitchell Trubisky and Nick Foles, whoever wins the starting job, has to have a command of the offense. So when week one hits, this team is off running and trying to compete for a playoff spot. They're not going to get the mulligan first 4 weeks. Like, there are a lot of Bears fans out there suggesting that give Mitchie the starting gig so when he fails, Nick Foles can come in and save the team. Here's the problem with that logic. Last year, when Mitch kind of fell apart, we saw it in the Eagles game in the first half. 9 yards the Bears got in one half of football. It's terrible. It's embarrassing. It's kind of the norm for what we have to deal with as Bears fans. You know, I've lived through that. It's something we've done many times. Then the Chargers game. That pick where the safety was floating over to the sideline, watching Mitch the entire way, and Mitch threw it like he's never seen a safety fade and shade towards the sideline before in his life. One of the worst picks I've ever seen with my eyes sitting at Soldier Field. It was horrendous. He lost the rest of the team in those games. Dan Weider wrote about it in the Chicago Tribune. I got a chance to interview Prince Amukamara back after the Eagles game. And he didn't say it on the show, but if looks were worth 1,000 words sitting in person with me and anyone who was in the bar with me when he was talking about it, he killed the defense. They knew they were entering games where they could not win because of the quarterback play. So if Mitch plays well in training camp and is ready to go at the start of the season to play great football, then fantastic. But I don't think in this season, Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace, or anyone up there at Halas Hall has the time to just allow someone to go and try and figure it out.
I agree with you, but I also think that it's easier to go from Trubisky to Foles than it is to go from Foles to Trubisky. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, and I completely disagree.
Really?
Yeah, because at least the coaching staff tried something. If they start Nick Foles and he fails, then we could all default back on, well, he's
but what
Nick
if
Foles.
What if Trubisky is still bad? You can't go back to Foles after he starts poorly. The point of going from Trubisky to Foles is, look, we gave him a shot. He performed well in training camp. We gave him a shot. He screwed up Detroit, New York for
us. I'm not worried about Foles mentally because he's a career backup.
No. I'm not worried about his mental state.
If his mental state is broken because of whatever this start is and him failing, it's like, well, he's not going to be here for years to come anyway. This is a Band-Aid on a gaping wound that the Bears have at this position that they have to fix going forward.
From what we heard from Ryan Pace, it's going to be a collaborative decision, and he's going to have some input. And if his input is that Trubisky starts, and Nagy just goes, fine, we'll put it in. Fine, I've got my guy right here, but I'm going to let you know, if he starts costing me a game, I'm pulling him, and that's it. So you start Trubisky, and you're like, look, we gave him a chance. He performed well in training camp. The little meter on NBC Sports Chicago was always in.
Oh, should I check it and see where it's leaning
today? They didn't have practice today, so it's going to be the same from yesterday.
It's not moving?
Yeah, it's going to be the same from yesterday.
Hold on, let me see.
Has it moved?
Did they take it down? It used to be up.
Well, probably too. Well, so there's practice tomorrow, so we can update it tomorrow.
Competition. No, the graphic is gone.
Well, there's no practice today.
I'm going to have to contact Danny Wysocki and find out where that graphic went.
Well, the point is that there's no practice today. So
maybe JJ knows. JJ Stankovitz, where's the graphic?
It would not have changed. I think it's more of a Hoag thing. It hasn't changed.
JJ knows. He always knows. JJ knows everything.
But my point is that I think it's easier on the front office and on the...
I like the graphic. Just have the graphic on the website.
If you put
the graphic on the website, you'll be able to figure out who's in the lead.
I would
Trubisky
love it,
or Foles.
I would love it if at the end of training camp or like a week before the season starts, they go in and they're having this meeting and Pace has the graphic printed out.
He's like, well, see.
He's like, well, if you look at my metrics here, if you look at my research, shows that Trubisky has been winning the camp.
The graphic battle on NBC Sports Chicago's website.
But I think then you can go, look, we gave the kid a chance. He had his shot. He had his shot against live competition against Detroit and New York. He screwed it up. And when we go to Atlanta, we're starting Nick Foles. Sorry. Simple as that. Because then you can't, because then you don't, you're not going back to Trubisky unless Foles gets hurt.
Well, I mean, listen, it's the NFL and very few quarterbacks play 16 games. You're going to use them both. So, you know, at some point, they're going to have to flip-flop, and they're going to have to get in there and play well and allow this defense to thrive and allow Matt Nagy to get back to the playoffs. That's that's what this is going to be. Coming up next, we talk to one of our favorite people, Sarah Langs from MLB.com. We get some stats on baseball next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Okay, our next guest, not only is she fantastic at what she does, but she might be more excited for baseball than any other person is excited for anything in all of life.
Yeah, absolutely. If you follow Sarah Langs on Twitter, MLB Network, at S Langs on Sports, and she is the most positive person in the world about baseball, excited about baseball, loves baseball. So, Sarah, thanks for joining us. First of all, I have a personal question for you first. Is there anything you don't like about baseball?
Thank you guys so much for having me, first of all, and for that intro, which had me laughing and smiling. Thank you so much. That it's not on all the time and that there aren't enough day games like every single day.
That's of such course. A great answer.
That is a perfect answer, too, because everything, like, it's just, it's always so positive in everything that happens. Like, obviously we follow the Cubs and the White Sox here, but you tweet out so much great information about all of baseball that if you're a baseball fan and you're not following Sarah on Twitter, then you're not really a fan of baseball.
Thank you guys. I really appreciate it. But yeah, I mean, I'm always just trying to watch every game, and I feel like especially this season, we have fewer of them overall. It's all condensed into this, you know, 2 month span before we get to the playoffs. So just trying to make the absolute most of every single inning, every single pitch.
Sarah Langs from MLB.com joining Chris Black and Adam Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. Sarah, last night, Yu Darvish was fantastic. Have the Cubs finally got the ace that they were expecting to get a couple of years ago when they signed him?
I think so. I mean, I remember I talked to you guys in July when we knew the season was going to be starting, and we were talking about Darvish, and I was talking about how, especially in the second half last year, he was so good, not walking guys, really good control, and just being the Yu Darvish that, you know, obviously the Cubs were expecting. And he's been outstanding this year. I mean, he's really limiting hard contact, which is something that stands out to me. He only has allowed a 27% hard hit rate, which would be the lowest of his career as far back as StatCast goes. And he's not giving up those big home runs, those big innings. And it's great to see. I mean, this Cubs team has been so much fun to watch. And it's just great to see him succeeding again and thriving like that.
Yesterday, after he pitched, he talked about how he's slowing down his approach to the game and his approach to each pitch. And the nine-inning game took 4 hours and 9 minutes yesterday. It was a marathon of baseball. But the improvement that he's shown from going back to last season, I don't even know if there's like a stat for pitch time between pitches or whatever that is. But what has he done almost mechanically, and what has he done his approach to each pitch to kind of get his velocity to where he needs it to be?
Yeah, so there is a stat for time between pitches, and this is the first time I've looked for it this year, and it's not on there right now this year, which is weird. So that's something else to look into. But I definitely believe him, and just, you know, watching him, you see that. But if it's working, then, you know, I guess it really doesn't matter. I mean, just looking at his pitch mix and everything, I think he's using his curveball a little bit more and his slider a little bit less compared to last season. That seems to be working really well for him. And if you look at what he did last season, I mean, none of his pitches were bad. You know, none of the batting averages were even above 275. It was probably, you know, as you're alluding to, and he was alluding to, sequencing and where he was using which pitch. And I think that this year he's got a better handle on that. We know, I mean, the miss with him is the 12 pitches, right? And I'm staring at something that's like 7 and it has 8 for last year. So he's all over the place with the total number of different kinds of pitches, but he's definitely using them all this year.
You know, something that we've seen here in Chicago over the course of the last week, because the Cardinals have been in town, are these doubleheaders where they're only playing 7 innings. Do you like this idea where when you have a doubleheader, you only play 7 innings?
Yeah, so, you know, I was really interested to see what I would think of it, seeing it in practice, you know, when we found out that these were going to be happening this year. And I certainly don't mind it. I mean, again, you guys were talking about, I love, you know, as long as there's baseball on the field, I love it. So I'm not going to be the person who's going to rail against any rules. But it's kind of fun. I mean, it's pretty fun for the fifth inning to feel really stressful because the game is almost over, you know, and it moves all of that timeline up. And from the first pitch of the game, it just feels that much more pressure because the game is so much closer to being over. So I've definitely been watching some of them, and then it timed out and I didn't realize, like, oh right, that was one of those 7-inning ones, that one ended. But it's fun, and it's great to get 2 games in a day with this, even if you get fewer innings than a normal doubleheader in previous years.
The end of the first just happened for the White Sox and the Tigers, and Tim Anderson did not lead the game off with a home run tonight.
Shocker.
So what has his approach been? What's been different about his approach, and how has he improved from last season?
Yeah, so he's been so much fun to watch lately. He's, like, leading the majors in hard contact since he came back off the IL, and that's something that really stands out to me, is his average exit velocity this season is 92.5 miles an hour. And that's not normally his game. I mean, last year, which was his previous best season, it was 88.3. And we know he had a great batting average, but it wasn't a huge power year. You know, he's gotten into the double digits in home runs, but it wasn't all about that. So this year, all of his expected stats, which are based on quality of contact, which is how hard you're hitting the ball and what your launch angle is, they're off the charts. I mean, he's in the top, like, 5 to 10% of the league in expected batting average, expected slugging percentage, which are just assessing everything on that kind of scale, which is really fun to see. I mean, his hard hit rate right now is 54%, which means more than half the time when he makes contact, the exit velocity is at least 95 miles an hour. And that's not something that we've really seen from him much in the past. And I think that we've just seen him develop and change something for the good pretty much in each year of his career. And it's really fun to see this as the next level.
Sarah Langs from MLB.com talking with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Help us put into perspective what Fernando Tatis Jr. has done to this point in the season.
Oh my gosh, it's incredible. I mean, he has been so much fun to watch. You know, it's my one disappointment with the season, I'll say one, is that because of the schedule, he's always playing on the West Coast. So the games are always starting at like 9 Eastern. And I don't mind because I'm going to stay up for the last pitch no matter what. But I hope that a lot of people on the East Coast are staying up to watch him because he is so worth watching. He's leading the majors right now in runs scored, home runs, RBIs, and stolen bases. I mean, he's just absolutely, absolutely outstanding. And if you look at his Statcast stats too, I mean, he's absolutely crushing the ball. We have percentile rankings. He is 100th percentile in exit velocity, hard hit rate, which means nobody is better. And that's just exactly what we've seen. I mean, he's the first 21-year-old to have 11 home runs in his team's first 25 games. And there are just so many fun age stats. And there's a really fun one that we won't know whether he makes the list until the end of the year, but there have only been 2 21-year-olds to lead the majors in home runs. And it was Eddie Mathews in 1953 and Sam Crawford in 1901. So he would join those guys if he keeps this up.
We're almost to the halfway point, which is crazy because there's only 60 of these things. But what's the one thing do you think that surprised you the most so far this season?
Well, there's been some talk recently, and my colleague Mike Petriello wrote about this yesterday on MLB.com, about how home field advantage seems to have disappeared a little bit. And entering today, I think the home team winning percentage was like 506. Which was on pace to be, I believe, tied for the worst since 1901. And obviously, home teams are still winning a little bit more at a higher clip compared to the road teams. But it's just interesting, and you wonder how much of that has to do with no fans in the stands and just all of the uniqueness of this season, not to mention, of course, all of these games where if you bat first, you're the road team, but you're not actually the road team in the stats. So there's a lot of confusion with some of those games that have been going on, and the Cubs had a couple of those, I believe.
Yeah, but right now the Cubs are about to win a game, but they would be the road team if they win this game.
Playing at Wrigley.
Right.
Yeah.
So technically for stats, it's completely based on the ballpark. I learned this year. Like, I did not know this before because this had only come up a handful of times. So when you check their, like, home road split tomorrow, this game will be considered a home game, but it's more the consideration is that they batted first. So there'll be, like, a designation on the box score. But it's very weird to see Craig Kimbrell standing there in the bottom of the seventh, right? Like,
yeah,
so
right.
Weird.
Yeah, right, exactly. Sarah Langs for another.
That it's the bottom of the seventh, or that they're using him in a safe situation.
Yeah. Or that you just hit a Cardinal and putting him on first. So the 4-2 lead, not so comfortable now for the Cubs in the seventh. Sarah, I want to ask you this because we had a good conversation yesterday and earlier tonight about the ratings for baseball this season. They're up. And not only are they up, they're up with young people and they're up with women. And I think this is fantastic news for Major League Baseball. Why do you think the TV numbers for baseball, when we look at the NBA, the numbers haven't been there? But why have the numbers for baseball been up this season?
Yeah, I saw that, and I was curious about the same. I think that there's a couple things. I mean, first of all, in comparison to, now the NBA has started their playoffs, but I think at the point when those came out, it was still the initial play-in tournament. And I don't think that had the same kind of urgency. But, of course, this is regular season baseball. But I think that, you know, something that, you know, some of my friends will sometimes mention to me that they like baseball, but it happens every day, and sometimes that's a little too much. I think that that's actually a great thing at a time like this because everybody's still sitting at home, you know, and everybody's around and you want something to put on. And there's just something really comforting about seeing baseball. Obviously, you know, I'm going to say that regardless, and I would be watching no matter what and don't even factor into those numbers. But I do think that, you know, that sort of like classic nature of, hey, it's baseball, put it on, you know, have an easy Saturday with that game on the TV. I think that that's probably helping a lot. And I'm so glad to hear that, you know, numbers are up, especially with young kids. I mean, these teams are so much fun. You have two awesome, fun start, more than two, but two that first jump to mind, obviously, were Tim Anderson and Javi Baez there in Chicago, but then you have Eloy Jimenez and you have Luis Robert, and there's just so many fun young players in the sport right now. And I think that, you know, young kids should be able to identify with that and really identify with the energy that those guys bring.
Thank you, Sarah, and congrats on the StatCast games that you're doing for MLB Network as well. You've been fantastic.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And thank you guys for having me.
Yep, absolutely. That's Sarah Langs from MLB.com. Follow her on Twitter. You have to. During the baseball season, she has fantastic information, almost minute to minute, throughout the baseball night, and you can follow her on Twitter at S Langs on Sports. One of our favorite guests.
Yeah, I feel bad because for the last 15 minutes, she could be tweeting out stuff about baseball.
Yes,
and
about
people
how
on
Kimbrel's,
Twitch believe that I
velocity is up. Yes,
well, people believe on Twitch that I jinxed it. So
what?
Because I brought up Kimbrel, and I'm like, yeah, I'm the reason Kimbrel's going to bring this up. Yeah, or yeah.
Can the Portland Trail Blazers beat the Lakers in the first round of the playoffs? We talk about it next.
And Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
We're going to talk NBA basketball in just a moment here. The Cubs win 4-2 in seven, game two of the doubleheader at Wrigley Field. David Bote, a single to center. Almora Jr. scores. Contreras scores. Breaks the tie at 2-2 in the top of the seventh. And the Cubs win 4-2. And how about this? Craig Kimbrell pitches the seventh, gets three strikeouts. How about that?
How about that?
His ERA is now down to 11.12. How about that?
I mean, he hit a
dude. Craig Kimbrell back.
He almost walked another guy. I mean,
one inning. There you go.
But hey, he got the save. One inning. Craig Kimbrell is back.
Feel good about that, Cub fans.
Is he back?
So there you go. The Cubs win game two. They lost game one. They got blown out in game one earlier today. And, you know, so-so series against the Cardinals. A good team. And the same goes for when they played the Brewers as well. The Brewers played well as well here at Wrigley, too.
And the Cubs are off tomorrow, and a good team coming in the White Sox, who are now up 1-0 on the Tigers.
How about that? Crosstown Classic back.
Yes, it is back as Edwin Encarnacion homered to left.
So if you want to talk Cubs baseball, we'll take your phone calls at 312-332-3776. Craig Kimbrell, do you feel good about what you saw with Kimbrell there in the seventh inning as he gets three strikeouts and the save for the Chicago Cubs? I wanted to talk to you about the NBA because last night Damian Lillard was fantastic. CJ McCollum as well. And the Blazers, they beat the Lakers. And really, LeBron James and Anthony Davis look uninspired in that game last night. And the Blazers looked like they had a chip on their shoulder, kind of the way that they've played this entire time in the bubble in Orlando. So I wanted to get your opinion on this because here's what I think is interesting. The Lakers were the best team in the West throughout the regular season. They weren't really challenged, and they were really starting to hit their stride right before the pandemic hit. Right before the pandemic. Remember, they had that really good win against the Bucks, and then they had that really good win. I think it was a Sunday afternoon game against the Clippers where Kawhi and Paul George both played, but it was AD and LeBron who led the way. And I think it was Avery Bradley had like 18 points in that contest, 20 points or something like that, to beat the Clippers. And then like that following Thursday is when the pandemic like really shut everything down in sports and the NCAA tournament canceled and all the college conference tournaments were supposed to be that weekend. Since that time, the Lakers have no depth at the point guard position. And the problem with this matchup with the Blazers is that they have two guys in the backcourt. Like CJ McCollum could run his own team, but he's a 1-2 punch with Damian Lillard, and Damian Lillard is trying to play like he's one of the best players in the league. Is it possible that the Lakers could get beat in this series by the Blazers? I think it is.
Well, if you look at the numbers, Chris, pre-bubble, so the whole regular season before they entered this bubble, the Lakers were first in field goal percentage, second in two-point field goal percentage, seventh in scoring, and 17th in three-point field goal percentage. Yeah. So they're not great three-point shooting team, middle of the pack. But everything else is great. First in field goal percentage overall. Okay, now in the bubble, since they've been playing these seeding games and this game against the first opening game against the Trailblazers, 20th in field goal percentage, 19th in two-point field goal percentage, 22nd in three-point field goal percentage, and 21st in scoring. So 20th or below in almost everything except for 19th in two-point field goal percentage. So they're not shooting well whatsoever. They didn't shoot the three well to begin with all season, but now this team can't shoot. So that's going to be a problem against a dude that can hit shots from the logo, like literally hitting shots. Like Dame is playing out of his mind right now. McCollum's playing great. You've got all these role players stepping up. And I don't know if it's not having the crowd, if it's the layoff was actually bad for LeBron and Anthony Davis, but something is not right with their shooting. LeBron hasn't looked like LeBron. I don't know if he's rusty and it's like the time off. He's not in basketball shape anymore.
Well, the stats are there, though. 23 points, 16 assists, 17 rebounds. But you're right. Like, for them to win, they're going to need LeBron and AD to give, like, 35 points a game each. Is it wrong that I was having this thought in my head last night while I watched this game? If I asked you, who would you rather start your franchise with, and I give you two options, is this wrong that I was heavily leaning one way when I thought about this last night? If I said if you could start your franchise with Damian Lillard or Anthony Davis, in my head it's no question I would take Dame. Am I wrong to think this?
No.
Like, is it crazy to think that Anthony Davis is the best player who's like completely not desirable when it comes to starting your franchise?
Don't tell Chicago people that.
Well, I'm just saying, you watch him play, and the stats are there. 28 points last night, 11 rebounds. I watched him play with the Pelicans for years, And the stats were there. They don't win anything. He doesn't win anything. When does he win anything? LeBron needs him. He's going to need him to get out of this series. If I was building a team, I'd rather have Dame. And to add to that conversation, if you could pick one, like here's the rule, right? Say if you know you can't win a championship, but for your favorite team, you could have a superstar be in your market for his entire career. Like Dame is the superstar love to have. Yeah. Like, I get it. Dame's probably never going to win a championship as the best player on his team. Well, let's just call it what it is. Chances are probably not.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, okay, if he does this year, people will say, oh, it was a bubble year. It was a pandemic. It doesn't get credit, right? But
that's what people are going to say.
Well, I'm just saying anyone will discredit things for this. But what I'm saying is, like, if you said Dame will never win a title, I would still feel like that would be great to have Dame as my lead player. And I feel if you say, who would you rather have, Damian Lillard or Anthony Davis? I feel like very few people are picking Anthony Davis.
Well, Anthony Davis averaged 26 points this year. Damian Lillard averaged 30 points this year. But where the discrepancy comes, obviously, is because Anthony Davis is more of a defensive player. You know, he's averaging nine rebounds a game, 2.3 blocks a game. And so you're getting better defensive stats with Anthony Davis. So if you
For sure. And listen, on this show, we talked about it on Sunday mornings. I would put Anthony Davis for my MVP voting as the third person on my MVP ballot. Mm-hmm. I would go with Giannis, LeBron, Anthony Davis as number three. And there's a good chance he could win Defensive Player of the Year. Giannis will probably get that, but AD has been that good this season. I just like, do you feel the confidence that Anthony Davis, as the number one dog on a team, can he get it done? He's going to, like, LeBron's going to need him.
I don't know if he's going to be able to be there.
And that's why, like, last night, like, where was he in the fourth quarter? There's another NBA angle I want to get your opinion on quickly. So things are done in Boston, in Philadelphia, right? 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter, Boston and Philadelphia. Boston's up 105-84. Oh,
dude, talk about a team Philly that lost didn't game live up one.
That team is, they're going
to
tear that team apart, right?
You
like,
have to.
Like, it's okay. So if you're a Bulls fan, is Ben Simmons available and would you want to go after him?
Oh, I would take Ben Simmons.
So would I.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. I think out of all those players that are on that team, I mean, do you want Embiid, who plays half the games a year?
I know Joe Colley suggested, back in, April, that if Joel Embiid is available to be had, the Bulls need to move everything they can to go after him. But I get the impression this 76ers team, this is going to get blown up.
Do you want Joel Embiid?
Well, the Bulls GM is Mark Eversley, who was there.
I know. I'd rather have Ben Simmons.
See, yeah, I think so, too.
I'd rather have Ben Simmons.
Because can you guarantee that Embiid over the course of 10 years is going to stay healthy?
Even though he's only going to play about 5 years worth of those games.
Even though we're talking about a player who has yet to stay healthy in Ben Simmons himself.
That's true. That is true, too.
Coming up at 8 o'clock, we will have coverage of Game 2, Mavericks and Clippers. You can hear the game right here on ESPN 1000. Coming up next, before we go to that basketball game, ESPN's coverage of the NBA playoffs. We told you a week ago that you have to pay attention to misinformation this fall.
Propaganda,
there is more misinformation out there about us, and we'll address it next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Download the podcast of tonight's show on the ESPN Chicago app. Look for the Black and Abdallah tile and also the baseball show. You can download it right there. Each night at 6 o'clock, we have the baseball show right here on ESPN 1000. You can download and listen to it right through the ESPN Chicago app. Thank you for Sarah Langs for joining us earlier tonight. And thanks to Tyler Aki for joining the show and for producing the show. What are you laughing at?
Nothing. Just, you almost slipped.
No, I didn't. I just kept
Connor and I looked at each other.
Yeah, I know. And I heard the noise that you made into the mic. I got you. I got you there. We go to Salim on ESPN Salim. 1000. Okay, let's keep it quick. We got to address this. There's some misinformation about us out
you
there
that
Salim we have to
talk
about. You
give Salim the floor, and he can go as long as he wants to.
Salim.
Hey, fellas, I'll try to make this as quick as possible. First, congratulations again
What's
for your
up,
new
Salim?
Show.
What's up, Salim? Thank you.
All right, so two things, quick points I want to make. For the Lakers, Anthony Davis obviously has to step up, but he's going to have to suck it up and play the five because when you look at
you can't play Dwight Howard that much.
You can't, and I think that's a problem. He doesn't like playing the five, but when he's at the five, the Lakers are better off in that regard. And I'll also say I think Dame Lillard can be a number one in a championship team. If you look at the Blazers' entire team, who's the best player he's ever played with? And you'd probably say LaMarcus Aldridge, but that was early in his career.
Mm-hmm.
And then now CJ McCollum. He's not an all-star. He's a borderline all-star. So he's never had another like top 15 player with him. So I would argue that if you give him like a Paul George or someone of that caliber, or like a Jimmy Butler or someone of that caliber, I think they would be serious title contenders.
Well, isn't CJ McCollum pretty close to that?
I don't think so. I think he's a very good player, offensive player. I don't know if I think he's a borderline all-star.
Ray Abdallah, ready for this one? All right, Salim, right? Here's the question. CJ McCollum or Zach LaVine?
I was just going to ask that. Oh, man.
Salim?
Okay. There's
Salim? Yeah?
I think CJ has proven more. He's proven more. He has. He's proven more as a reliable scorer on a bigger stage. So you have to take him right now.
Thank you for your call, Salim. Have a good night, all right, man?
You guys have a good night, too.
Salim!
That's great. Salim's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So this fall, in the media, in the news, there's going to be a lot of misinformation out there, right? Political shows are going to be watched.
Oh, yeah.
Debates are going to be had.
It's an election year.
Yeah, right. So, like, there's a lot of stuff going on in the fall here.
Yeah. Big year.
So we just wanted to, go out and vote.
Register and then go vote.
If you can, ask for it by mail and get it done. Send it in. Okay, so there's going to be a lot of misinformation taking place this fall. It's something we've documented on our shows on Sunday morning, and mm-hmm. I feel like it's something we're going to have to address, not because we want to, but just because we need to make sure the right information is getting out there and not being manipulated, right?
We don't want fake news out there.
Yeah, fake news.
We don't want fake news.
Misinformation. So a week ago on our Sunday show, we addressed it, and listen closely. You will hear some football content,
mm-hmm.
and then you will hear some misinformation slipped in.
Just the type of coaches and people we have in our building, I believe it will be. So
it's Trubisky, right?
It's not really a big concern.
So Mitch is motivated by the doubters. He wants to prove the doubters, like Black and Abdallah, wrong.
Whoa.
And many of you out there. And we'll see if he can do it.
Okay, so that was a clip from David Kaplan's show, the old Cap and Company. He is now with Jonathan Hood, Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10 on ESPN 1000. Did you catch it in there?
Mm-hmm.
Slipped
mm-hmm.
it in. It was a Trubisky bite, and then Cap started talking, and then a pointless shot at us.
That like Black and Abdallah.
Some misinformation. We are not haters. We just want to see good football.
Mm-hmm.
Then it happened again. Some more football conversation from Cap here. Whoa. Take a look.
So Stacey Dales, my friend who works for NFL Network, she's awesome. Here's what she just tweeted. Bears OC Bill Lazor says quarterback Mitchell Trubisky is showing great recall, which is critical for a quarterback. When a play is in, it's in. Quarterback must have it in the huddle. Mitch has shown the ability to recall in all our walkthrough situations. Very, very positive. Take that, Dahlenbeck.
What?
312-332.
Did you catch that, though? Like,
why?
In between the news and then right before he went to the phone
but
number, 3776.
Unnecessary.
He slipped in there.
Unnecessary is what it is.
Some misinformation, right?
And we
all have to be on our toes this fall of the misinformation. Well, it happened again today.
What?
7:44 this morning.
Not surprised.
Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. Take a listen.
Can we just, I want everyone to close their eyes. I want you to visualize the future.
Not if you're
driving.
And I
want you to look ahead to January. MT10, kid.
What? MT? Who's that?
Michael Thomas wears 13.
Mitchell David Trubisky.
Okay. All right. Fine. All right. I would see him, but I got the TVs
Danny's
off, so I can't
guy,
see Cordero him.
Cordero Patterson said he looks like a completely different player.
he read it just the way they wrote it up for him.
I know. Exactly.
What do you want me to say? I knew that if somebody said something nice about Mitch, everyone's going to be like, well, what do you think they're going to say? They're not going to throw their guy under the box. They're absolutely not going to say anything negative.
Like a whole new player this year, man. I just see it in his eyes each and every day, man. He's got that fire on him. So
focus.
You know, that's what we need out of our quarterbacks, man, that competition. Mm-hmm. You know, it brings the best out of everybody. So I'm excited to see him and Nick can do, you know, compete for that job. So it's going to be a good year.
I would say on my list, Baez is one and Anderson's right there on the way with the arrow pointing up.
By the way, if you want to rehear that piece of sound again, tune in at 7 o'clock tonight after the baseball show with Bleck and Abdallah because they'll urinate all over it.
Whoa.
Okay.
Haterade.
So let me check this off now. All right, so every show now, we're just going to take a shot at Bleck and Abdallah not here. Okay, so we got that checked off. All right,
yep.
Now we can move on to the topic. So now, again, we look at Tim Anderson and Javi Baez. I mean, we got to do this once a show. Mark it off on the log, Mellor. You got to make sure he takes a shot at Bleck and Abdallah. That's just like when the sun comes up.
Correct. So all right, morning coffee. Got it.
Okay, Bleck and Abdallah, this next. Now,
so remember, everyone, stay on your toes. There's misinformation out there this fall. Once again, not warranted. But I think we can have solace in this. Did you also hear Cap today say this?
Boy, if you'd have bet the Blazers and the Magic in a two-team parlay, daddy likey. I wish I did.
Did you hear that?
Daddy likey.
Oh. Hey, Tyler, did you hear that?
Daddy likey.
Hey, Adam, did you hear that?
Daddy likey.
Oh, stop. Daddy likey. I just got this weird,
Okay, we have 10 seconds left in the show. Anyone listening to the show right now, tweet at the Catman.
The Catman.
Daddy likey.
Daddy likey.
Flood his timeline tonight.
Daddy likey.
Daddy likey.
Daddy likey.
We'll be back at 2 tomorrow with Waddle and Sylvie.
You are listening to Bleck and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Daddy likey.